Could Jesus Christ have sinned during his earthly ministry? This isn't merely an academic question. The answer touches on the very heart of our salvation and reveals profound truths about Christ's incarnation, temptations, and what it means to be united with him. This week on Imprint Out Loud, Tommy and Doug unpack this question with biblical depth and pastoral warmth. Together, they examine what Scripture teaches about Christ as the God-man, the reality of his temptations, and why his inability to sin doesn't diminish, but rather magnifies the power of those temptations. Here is episode 79 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. Today we've got an interesting question, or a couple of questions, and I think, Doug, you and I might have different answers to that, but welcome, Doug.
Thank you.
Doug, you recently preached on Christ's incarnation, or the Son of God, becoming man.
Yes.
You talked about, I loved your last sermon, just really focusing on his humanity. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it on Breckeners Baptist website from Luke. And then I taught in our family Bible hour the other day on the resurrection, which it blew my mind, that study. It was really fruitful. So, question. Did Christ have the ability to sin? Now, you know that, well, you know, but Christ, complete man, complete, so man and divinity.
Yeah.
Did he have the ability?
Yeah. So I think some people argue that Christ could sin because though he was 100% God, he was also 100% man. But I don't believe that Christ could sin because of the fact that he was 100% God and 100% man. So there's a sense in which you don't want to divide Christ up between his godhood and his manhood. And so I think that he could feel the full weight of our temptation, of the temptations that came to him. Hebrews 4, Hebrews 2 makes the point that he's a sympathetic high priest. Because he's been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And so I don't believe Christ could have sinned because of the fact that he is the God-man. But that doesn't lessen the power of the temptation. In fact, I think Christ was fully tempted. Mankind is not fully tempted because we fall before we come to the fullness of the temptation, whereas Christ experienced the fullness of the temptation.
Okay. I appreciate that. Because the whole thing of the ability doesn't necessarily mean he can sin.
Yeah.
But I think that's helpful just to think that, I never thought about that, that we can't be tempted fully because eventually you will fall, or you will turn around and not sin. But he was tempted up to the point of, and yet with no sin.
Yeah. I think the fullness of the temptation of Christ was far more intense than any kind of temptation that we experience, because he felt the full brunt of it and yet did not sin.
Yeah. So you would say that Hebrews 4, the tempted in every way doesn't mean ability, but that he was tempted in every kind of sin.
Yeah, he was tempted in all points.
Yeah.
As we are.
Okay.
So he felt the full weight of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:3 that he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. That doesn't mean that his flesh was sinful like ours, but it was in the likeness of sinful flesh, which means it experienced, his flesh experienced weakness like we do, experience fatigue. His flesh could be wounded. You know, people have this idea of, you know, Jesus as a baby never cried. Well, I don't know where we get that from. Because if he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, he would have been hungry. He would have been uncomfortable. And the only way a baby can communicate is by crying. You know, when he was a month old, he wasn't communicating in Hebrew with Mary. You know, he was crying. So we don't want to lose the humanity of Christ. But at the same time, we also need to realize that he was completely sinless.
So let's go there, crying. All that. Do you think he got sick or he could get sick?
I think he could, because I think that phrase, likeness and sinful flesh, that our bodies get sick because sin has come into this world. And when I catch a cold, it's not because I've sinned necessarily. It's because I am in flesh that is weak. And I don't know how you get around Romans 8:3. It doesn't say he was in the likeness of flesh, but the likeness of sinful flesh. Again, he was not a sinner. But what is it about sinful flesh? It's flesh in a world that has fallen.
Corruptible, so, like with the first sin. So the body degenerating, that's why we will be glorified after death with a perfect body.
And so think about Psalm 16 that Peter quotes in the book of Acts, where David says, "You will not leave my soul in hell. My body will not see corruption." He speaks, he's speaking about the resurrection of Christ. I don't think that means that his body could not be corrupted. What it did mean was that he would be resurrected so that it could not be corrupted. So in other words, the flesh of Christ could, it could die, it could decay. And we know that because, you know, he still has the scars. So his body was in the likeness.
Yeah, and that's a, another question, maybe just a quick answer to that, is that a lot of people say, well, his body was glorified, he didn't have the marks, but Thomas said, if I don't put my fingers in the holes in my hand and his side, I won't believe. And he showed, Thomas, come. And that was after his resurrection. So he still bears the scars. Just as I was teaching on the resurrection on Sunday, it just dawned on me that whatever applies to Christ in life and death and after applies to us if you're in Christ. Which is just a glorious thing to think about as you grieve death of a loved one, or even as you prepare for death, that whatever happened to Christ, if you're in Christ, that's going to happen to you. He will raise you as well in newness of life.
I think the whole doctrine of the union with Christ is a doctrine that Christians need to meditate upon. So, you know, Paul said that I might know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. How does that come about? By our identification with Christ. So because we are in Christ, when the Father says, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased, I can say that about myself, not because of who I am, but because I'm in Christ. And so the argument of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 about the fact that we're going to have a resurrected body, it's be a resurrected body like that of Christ. So his glorification is the assurance of our glorification. It's Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. Just as Christ is glorified, we're going to be glorified in our bodies.
Now, it's just special, as I was teaching, there's also the resurrection. The resurrection ensures our redemption, our justification. And there even, it's if Christ died for our sins, and I think a lot of people focus on the cross, he died for our sins. But then how do you know that that payment of death was enough? Because I've had, oh, don't worry, I'll pay for it. And then you come to the teller and it's like, oh no, you still owe $100. So I need to pay in. So how do you know that Christ's payment was sufficient? God the Father was pleased with that, paid in full, is because of his resurrection, because he paid it, so he couldn't stay dead anymore. Our trespasses well, let us die forever, because we can't pay it back. But Christ, he made the full payment, and the resurrection is the proof that the payment was enough.
Yeah, in fact, in Romans 1, he speaks about the gospel of God, which is concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared or appointed to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. And because of that, he is Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
So Paul makes it very clear that the resurrection of Christ guarantees that it really, the message of the gospel really is good news.
Yeah, that was just a special time, just to reflect on that, and just soak that up. Which I think what you say is true. I think we need to focus more on the whole Christ. Like, what does that actually mean?
Right.
In our grace group the other night, I said, how do we use the gospel in our lives? It's not just to get saved or for unsaved people, and it's almost like the Lord's Prayer. It's a structure. But God, man, Christ response, the gospel message, is a structure to actually think and pray through. Okay, God, man, Lord, you are holy. Just let that soak in a bit.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. Man, let's soak that in with that. And then you work through the gospel, just those God, man, Christ response words, and meditate on it and pray through it and thank the Lord for it.
Right.
Which was, it's quite sweet. Now, here's the big question.
Yeah.
If he died for sin, Adam's sin, original sin that brought death to life, like death is there, why do people still physically die when they're in Christ?
So, the penalty for sin was you shall surely die. The physical death is a result of being in a sinful body. That is not lifted for the Christian necessarily. If he lives long enough, he's going to experience that. But consider the fact that when Christ returns, there will be Christians alive. And at the resurrection, we will go first. And those who are alive will also be changed. So even those who do not die physically, their bodies cannot inherit heaven, if I can use that phrase.
Yeah.
That there is a body terrestrial and there is a body celestial.
Yeah.
So it's really a grace of God that we die physically, because we get a body that is then fit for heaven. So I think that's one reason why we are still going to die physically. It's not a punishment for the Christian, but it is a means of the seed being put in the ground and coming out something completely more glorious. That'd be the best answer I could give for it.
So you would say something like, what we know, a seed needs to die so that it can germinate.
Yes.
So that's also, and maybe it's a, I agree with you, the original sin caused the body to die. That's it. And if we put a positive spin on it, that exactly that Galatians talks about that, just the death so that you can be raised again. If we don't die, where's the resurrection in all of this? Again, going back to my previous point, where the resurrection is actually a significant part of a Christian's life.
Right.
I was speaking to Banele about this as well, and I wonder, correct me if I'm wrong or add to if you want to, but the whole process of death and looking forward to the resurrection, again, Abraham, Isaac, the offering, in saying, I'm obedient, I'm going to go into death because it's a faith issue that you will raise me up again. So even for a Christian to go through death, it's a faith, you actually living out your faith to know that God will raise you up just like he did with Christ.
You're persevering to the end with your faith.
Yeah.
So, you know, Paul makes the point in 1 Corinthians 15 about, but the whole thing about you plant one thing, something else comes out.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the earlier point in Romans 8:3. If Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, after his resurrection, remember, people didn't recognize him right away because his body was different.
Yeah.
So even Jesus, though he was sinless, there was something about that flesh, because it was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, that changed after the resurrection.
Yeah.
And so again, it is a glorious gift from God that we actually die and get a new body, or when Christ returns and we're alive, we are changed, right? So Paul says, we should not all sleep, meaning die, but we shall all be changed.
Mm.
If we weren't changed, we would be taking this sinful flesh, we'd be taking this weak, sinful flesh into eternity. Who wants that?
Yeah. This tent, broken pot that he talks about. Well, that's helpful. That's really helpful. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to emphasize, it's not, the physical death is not punishment for the Christian.
Yeah.
It's just a transitory stage to receive a glorified body.
Yeah. Which again, Paul says, for me to die is gain, right?
Right.
We should think about that in light of, that we should think about death in light of the resurrection and the hope.
And so we groan in our bodies, right? Mm. Waiting for the redemption. I remember watching my dad die and sitting in his hospital bed and reading 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 over and over again, just reflecting on the fact that, you know, right now his body is wasting away.
Mm. Mm.
But that's simply because he's in Christ. Mm. It's a means of him now getting a glorified body.
Mm.
So I think that it gives perspective to a Christian with death.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
If you have any other questions like these, maybe a little less difficult, we can discuss them, but send them in. Until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.